show. You bring up what you want toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the packet, 8.net toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free, so enjoy those. They're on us, freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That is freestateproject.org. From outside of the Free State to Rhode Island we go. Ryan Patrick Halligan was bullied for months online. Classmates sent the 13-year-old boy instant messages calling him gay. He was threatened, taunted, and insulted incessantly by so-called cyberbullies. In 2003, Ryan killed himself. Ryan's father, John Halligan, says he just went into a deep spiral in eighth grade. He couldn't shake this rumor. Mr. Halligan became a key proponent of a state law that forced Vermont schools to put anti-bullying rules in place. He's now pushing for a broader law to punish cyberbullying, often done at home or after school, and wants every other state to enact laws expressly prohibiting it. So apparently,
How can the schools make rules on what you can do in your off time?
Well, because Mr. Halligan wants them to.
I guess.
And this wouldn't be the first time. You remember there's a case actually right now that's in the Supreme Court that happened in Alaska. The guy with the Bong Hits for Jesus sign. You remember that story?
Yeah.
Young man was protesting something, and he held up a sign, or maybe he was just having fun. He held up a sign that said Bong Hits for Jesus outside of his school. There was something going on at the school. I don't think it was a school day. I think it was some sort of, I don't know, fair or activity of some sort. Anyway, he was standing out there with the sign across the street from the school.
That's
right. On school property. And the principal came over, tore his sign out of his hands, and now there's a Supreme Court case about it. So it's not the first time, and that's just one example of the ways that schools try to regulate what people do outside of campus. States from Oregon to Rhode Island are considering crackdowns to curb or outlaw the behavior in which kids taunt or insult peers on social websites like MySpace or via instant messages. Still, there's some disagreement over how effective crackdowns will be and how to do it. Rhode Island State Senator John Tassoni says the kids are forcing our hands to do something legislatively. He wrote a bill to study cyberbullying.
The kids are forcing us.
It's for the children, Mark. He wrote a bill to study cyberbullying and hopes to pass a cyberbullying law by late 2007. George McDonough, an education coordinator with Rhode Island's Department of Education, says, but others argue legislation would be ineffective. He concedes the Internet has become an instant slam book, but questions whether laws can stem bad behavior. He said, you can't legislate norms, you can only teach norms. Just because it's a law doesn't mean they necessarily follow it. I mean, look at the speed limit. The Internet allows students to insult others in relative anonymity, and experts who study cyberbullying say it can be more damaging to victims than traditional bullying like fistfights and classroom taunts. Now, I wonder why that would be.
Because it's new.
Really?
Because we won't get any press if we say that this is not as effective as regular bullying, so we must say it's worse.
I think you're right about that, Mark, because it seems to me, as somebody who faced a little bit of this when I was in school, not cyberbullying, but the real thing, it seems to me that it's a lot scarier when you're dealing with someone who's physically larger than you, threatening you in person than a text message that comes through from some anonymous coward online. How could that possibly be worse?
I don't know. These experiences are pretty far removed from me at 36, but certainly experienced bullying in school, as I'm sure everybody has. And
you didn't kill yourself.
It's no fun. But I can imagine it was really tough for this kid. I can imagine it was, when he was probably pretty effeminate, just a guess, and people said he was gay, and that really stinks. It's a crappy way to have to go through school.
When you're in middle school, you're really subject to these sorts of things. This is when it happens for kids, is when they're in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet allows students to insult others with relative anonymity. Legislators and educators say there's a need for guidelines outlining how to punish cyberbullying. They say the behavior has gone unchecked for years, with few laws or policies on the books explaining how to treat it. You know, if this is so bad, how come we haven't heard about it before? We've been doing this show for 4 years, 4+ years. I've never once had a story about so-called cyberbullying. It's often limited to online insults about someone's physical appearance, friends, clothing, or sexuality. But some cyberbullies are more creative. In Washington State, a bully stole a girl's instant message username and used it to send out insulting messages. In New York, two high school boys were accused of operating an internet site that listed girls' sexual secrets. Prosecutors decided not to charge the boys because of free speech concerns. Stephen Brown, yeah, I mean, this is definitely a free speech issue.
I would have to say it is. I mean, it's pretty tacky to go and find out girls' sexual secrets or make them up or whatever and put it on the internet, but, you know, I mean, hopefully the boys will be exposed. And it would seem like something that the school newspaper could address.
Yeah, and shouldn't parents just be dealing with this on their own? I mean, I don't know much about this whole texting phenomenon. This is after my time as well, but it seems to be big amongst the kids today. You know, the little, they've got the little see you Tuesday or whatever text messages they sent in. Well, I don't know much about it, but it would seem to me that from my knowledge of at least online instant messaging, you know, with the AIM and the Yahoo Instant Messenger and these various different online services, there's usually a block function. So if somebody were to find...
No, texts aren't nearly as easy to block.
Okay, okay. Because you have to have the person's phone number to send them the text, right?
Yeah, I've actually tried to block texts in the past, you know, from a specific phone number, and I haven't had a lot of luck.
So you would, essentially, it seems to me that these young people need to be a little bit more discriminatory about who they give their phone number to. Right?
Probably true.
Because it's a cell phone number. It's not listed in any sort of directory.
I don't know about all cell phones, but my particular cell phone does have aftermarket software that you can get put on the cell phone to take care of this.
Yeah, I would think... That you've got a spiffy cell phone with the Palm operating system and all that. Most people just have the cheapy cell phone that you get with a plan.
At some point, if there isn't now, there definitely will be an effective way to block texts. Because you have to pay for them coming in if you don't have one of these unlimited text plans.
Mm-hmm.
And
which you presume most kids would.
It's a presumption, yeah. But it doesn't make it true. You have to pay for them, and they're annoying.
Right. I don't get them personally because I don't engage in the whole texting process. But it would seem to me that it's all about protecting your privacy. You know, if kids want to go around and spread their phone number to every single person in school so they can get receive text messages from everybody, well, then there's a good chance that somebody who doesn't like you is going to send something mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way middle school kids are. They're mean little brats. And so this is what happens. So I think the issue should be that if this little boy's dad, who this poor kid who killed himself, Ryan's dad, is alerted to the fact that his son is receiving these unwanted text messages, he could sit down with his son instead of turning to mommy government, which is what he's doing. And this is indicative of this problem we have with parents today,
right?
Turning to government to solve their problems.
As though, when, you know, and the he could get rid of his IM. He doesn't have to go on instant. He doesn't have to get on online on instant message. He doesn't have to have a cell phone.
That's what I'm saying. If he has to have a cell phone, if his parents want him, because a lot of parents today want to give their kids cell phones for the purpose of being able to call them, for the purpose of being able to track them. They now have the tracking features as well. So there are reasons why parents might want their kids to have a cell phone, in which case his father could just simply say, look, Ryan, we need to sit down and talk about privacy. Okay? The only reasons these bullies, these so-called cyber bullies, have your phone number is because you gave it to somebody. And then they gave it to them. You need to either be very careful and selective about who you give your number out to, or don't give your number out to anybody. And so you want this problem to be solved, you solve it on your own, using private methods, using that sort of solution. Call the cell phone company. Demand that they institute blocking software in their phones. If this is really as big of a problem as they say it is, and this article claims it's a huge problem, then certainly parents should be calling their cell phone companies and complaining to them. Let us block certain numbers. 800-259-9231. Do you have kids? Is this a problem for them? And how did you solve it as a parent? I know our listeners didn't turn to mommy government, so give me some creative solutions here. 800-259-9231. More about these whiners and what they want from their mommy governments here in moments, and your calls as well about what you want. 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll-free line, and this is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I got something, man, I want you to look at.
What? What is it now?
It's called OneYearToRetire.net. When you get home, I want you to go to OneYearToRetire.net.
Come on, you gotta be kidding. 1 year to retire. When are you gonna get it through your head that there is no quick fix? No free lunch?
I know. I agree with you. This isn't like that. It's an ingenious system that's designed to help you retire in 1 year. I was skeptical, too, but the system is free, and when I looked at it, I was sure it would work. What have you got to lose? It's free.
Well?
All you have to do is go to OneYearToRetire.net and get a free system. It only takes a minute. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Go to OneYearToRetire.net. That's OneYearToRetire.net. Or call 888-200-0265. That's 888-200-0265.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring us anything toll-free. 800-259-9231. The packet 8.net toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online. freetalklive.com. All the features completely free, including the wiki. wiki.freetalklive.com. Over 1,200 unique pages created by listeners like you. You can go in there and you can edit virtually anything you see on the wiki. wiki.freetalklive.com gets you to it. That's wiki.freetalklive.com.
Do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, But you want to keep those clients, too. SACL CAI, check out their banner at freetalklive.com or call 1-800-544-6359. Do business with businesses that support FTL.
Our number is 800-259-9231. We're talking about apparently a relatively new phenomenon called cyberbullying. It involves people of a younger set, probably in their middle school age to maybe early high school age range. They're early teens, basically, sending mean messages over cell phones and instant messaging services. Apparently, one kid allegedly killed himself because he got too many instant messages claiming that he was a gay boy. And it seems a little bit of an extreme response to what's essentially no more than text. I understand there's mean kids in school, and there always will be, but I don't think that the solution is that this kid's dad wants, and that is a law outlawing this particular behavior. I think that there can be some market-based solutions here that parents can do on their own with their kids, with their cell phone providers. There doesn't need to be legislation.
You know, to even call this bullying seems unfair to people that are getting bullied.
That's a good point. Yeah, actually, you know, physically threatened by people,
threatened or beaten up.
Yeah,
you know, these
thrown in trash cans.
These things can really happen and do really happen every single day in school. And to call this cyberbullying is just not fair. This isn't. Look, if you don't want to get text messages, you can solve that problem. You can get a phone that doesn't receive text messages.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Or don't, as I pointed out, don't give out your number. Let's go to the phones and talk to Nigel in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hey, Nigel.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I might have missed this while I was dialing in, but did this kid ever talk to his parents? Because, I mean, now, I'm 17, and so I dealt with bullying fairly recently. I'm in college now, so not a problem now. But, you know, I talked to my parents, and we figured out how to deal with it like that. Did this kid ever do that? And if so, why did his parents not do anything?
I don't know. The article doesn't get into that sort of detail. Based on what his father says, it makes it seem like his dad was aware of it. He says, quote, he just went into a deep spiral in eighth grade. He couldn't shake this rumor. So it almost makes it sound like dad was well aware of this problem.
Well, I mean, if it was that bad, isn't there more than one school nearby? I mean, they could have switched schools if it was that horrendous, you would think.
You would think, but this dad doesn't seem to be the kind of dad that wants to take any sort of action on his own. He's
right, apparently
for a law to solve his problem.
Apparently, you know, the school's just supposed to provide a bully-free environment. I just don't understand. There's so many things that could have been done in this circumstance, and hindsight's 20/20, and you never know exactly what you should have done, but...
Well, I'd like to point out that if this were a private school, there very well could be a bully-free environment.
Well, I mean, I really think if you put two middle school kids together, there's going to be some bullying going on. That's sort of the nature of the beast.
Oh, I understand that, but my point being that if there really is a bully at a school, and he really is causing trouble for some of the students there at a private school, the private school is going to have parents showing up to the office saying, hey, you know, so-and-so is allegedly bullying my son, and I'd like it to stop, or I'm going to pull my son from your school. The school is either going to take some sort of discipline out against that kid and solve the problem, or they're going to lose business. So in a market-based school system, I would say it's less likely that bullying, if it were happening, would continue to happen at a market-based school.
Yeah, and to back that up, when I was in middle school and I went into the principal's office or whatever to talk about it, you know, I got the talk. They never called in the people. I mentioned people that were causing me problems, and, you know, they never called in anybody. They never really did anything about it. They just talked to me. Now, I eventually learned how to handle it myself, but, I mean, they never did anything about what happened.
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't.
Exactly right. Nigel, any other thoughts?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you, sir. 800-259-9231. Stephen Brown, the executive director of the Rhode Island branch of the ACLU, said it'll be difficult to draft a cyberbullying law that doesn't infringe on free speech rights. Quote, the fact that two teenagers say nasty things about each other is part of growing up. How much authority does a school have to monitor, regulate, and punish activities occurring inside a student's home? And I'm a little bit scared with the idea that the schools can continue this sort of tentacle-like reach that they're getting outside of their actual school boundaries into not only on the school bus, but to the bus stop. When I was into, and then now even into the homes of these kids. this is really disturbing. It's almost 1984. Like, I remember when I was in school, there were a couple of young girls on the bus that me and some of the other people at the bus stop, we all didn't really get along. There was a bit of a clash between two factions at the school bus stop. And there was a, you know, there was, I don't know, I wouldn't call it bullying. It was,
yeah, I can see how it is. When you're doing it, it's not bullying. But when other people did it to you, you were the victim of bullying.
These girls were mean, mean girls. Let me tell you that. And,
of course, they all are.
Anyway, there was some conflict, let's call it that.
I mean the victims of bullying. I don't mean girls are mean, mean.
School bus, right. The school bus stopped. And I remember that the school got involved. The parents of these girls went, first of all, the girls made up a bunch of crap that we didn't do, went and told their parents that we'd done these things, and then that went to the school level, and people got punished for what essentially happened at the school bus stop. Not on the school bus, not at school, but at a, you know, a piece of road on the side of somebody's house.
Mm.
And so, you know, I noticed this happening back when I was in school. I didn't realize the implications at the time. It did seem a little bit strange to me, because I did realize that at that time that, hey, wait a minute, we weren't really even on school property. How is it that they can do this? Well, they do it and nobody objects to it. So they take one more step. And then nobody objects to that. And then they take another step, and nobody objects to that. And soon, they're in control of your kids when they're at home. Soon, if you don't mandate that your kids spend time on homework, maybe you're going to get brought up on charges. Maybe that's what's next. States are taking a different approach to the problem, or different approaches. South Carolina law that took effect this year requires school districts to define bullying and outline policies and repercussions for the behavior, including cyberbullying. One school district there has proposed punishments from warnings up to expulsion for both traditional bullying and cyberbullying. Now, what I'd like to know is if we're going to have punishments, when I say we, I mean the government, if the government's going to be punishing people for this alleged cyberbullying, what sort of evidence will they require? Are you going to look at the messages on the kid's phone to verify that he did indeed receive these messages?
Well, I would assume that the victim of the bullying would hand over some evidence. And
if there is such evidence on the victim's side, then how are you going to prove that it was the individual that the victim is alleging it was that was sending the text messages? If it came
a little bit of detective work seems like that would solve that problem.
If it came from that number, that may very well be some evidence, but there's no guaranteeing that the phone didn't fall into the hands of someone else who then used the phone to send the text messages.
It's true.
There's no way to prove who sent these things. What if it were sent from some sort of an anonymizing device? I mean, this gets... Is the school district going to be responsible for investigating this stuff?
Bullying's a pattern, and I would hope they would show a pattern.
More is on the way. You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live. Your bullying stories, if you got them.
Does this sound bring on a sudden onset of fear? A fear of not knowing who's on the other end? Do you avoid picking up the phone, knowing it's just going to be another harassing phone call from a debt collector? Do you resent your daily trips to the mailbox, knowing it will be flooded with notices from creditors? Over 1 million credit card holders will declare bankruptcy this year. Learn how to legally eliminate your credit card debt. Want to know more? Call 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up anything toll free, 800-259-9231, the packet 8.net toll free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com, where all the features are totally free. And that does include updates. You get signed up. We clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Know it first if you're on the updates list at updates.freetalklive.com. That's updates.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. So, to the email box from Marlon. He says, I've heard the topic on your show about privatization of the criminal justice system in prisons, that arbitrators would be contracted to decide punishments for individuals who have committed crimes, and that both the defense and prosecution would have to agree to accept the terms of the arbitrator after the decision is made, and if both parties do not agree, then a new arbitrator is sought out. This is the way I interpreted it from your show. And I'd say you got it pretty close, Marlon. Says, if this is indeed the case, I see potential flaws in this. One, if there isn't any local government-controlled law enforcement, who and on what terms would investigate the crimes in the first place?
So this is more of an email for you because, I don't really support this whole DRO completely free market solution like you do.
Right. I'm not necessarily a supporter of DROs myself.
Okay.
I'm just a supporter of allowing the marketplace to handle everything instead of a coercive gang.
Gotcha.
So to answer his question, you're certainly free to brainstorm here, Mark, even though you might not support it. To answer number one is, who would investigate crimes in the first place? Let's say there's a murderer running around just killing people. And who's going to look into it? Who has a financial incentive to look into to trying to determine who the murderer is?
Well, I think it's likely that lots of people would want to find out who the murderer is, and they would put private investigators, many of them, on the case.
I don't think it would necessarily be individuals. It would be businesses who are insuring the protection of individuals.
Likely.
That would likely hire the PIs. It could happen other ways as well. But if people have protection agencies, which would essentially be insurance companies, because there really wouldn't be a lot of protection necessary. In a free market situation, it would be an armed society, and of course that tends to be a polite society. So a murderer probably wouldn't last too long in a free market situation. Somebody going around just trying to take people out inevitably is going to come up against someone who's going to take him out.
Right. If there's no police, it's likely that people would be carrying weapons.
Right.
You know, it makes good sense to me. There's states, for instance, New Hampshire, you can carry a gun around any place that a business owner will let you walk in. It's state law that you can carry a gun on your hip.
Right. So as soon as a murder happens, it's going to be reported to whatever agency it is that is taking care of the people involved. And they're going, and this is just how I envision it. If you've got a different vision, please, 800-259-9231. I'm not going to be the one who are creating these agencies, so this is just one idea. But the agencies are going to get involved, and they're immediately going to determine whether or not this is a crime of passion. I mean, it's probably going to be, you know, they're going to put their investigators on the case and talk to the people that are in the immediate surrounding vicinity as far as family members and the usual suspects, right? Because a lot of the guys who are in policing today, they do know what they're doing with investigating murders. You know, they know who to look at first. They know, and traditionally, who the suspects are.
When it comes to a mass murderer, the police are motivated to catch the guy simply because they're going to get all kinds of acclaim and that kind of thing. It's on the other hand, if they're looking for your television set, they're not as likely to worry about it.
And the insurance companies are looking for acclaim as well. They're looking to be able to brag that, hey, you know, we bring these murderers to justice as soon as possible. You know, here's our track record. Here's who we've caught. Instead of trying to shove things under the rug, as many police departments do when they have dead leads and that sort of thing. But anyway, they would investigate the obvious leads, the close personal connections, that sort of thing. But let's say that turns up dry. Let's say it is a total random stranger who's going around murdering people, like we had down in Arizona, I think it was last year, where they had the two strangers just going around bumping people off in the streets, and the police couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
In a case like that, then different insurance companies would get involved. Because if there's a mass murderer running around killing people, there are a variety of different insurance companies insuring people. All of those insurance companies want to make sure that that murderer comes to justice, because any one of their customers is at risk. And if one of their customers is at risk and gets bumped off, it's going to make them look bad.
A $1 million policy isn't going to be that they're going to have to pay out. It's going to be a big thing, too.
There's that as well. And so then you're going to have not just one insurance company doing the investigating, but several competing insurance companies competing to find who this murderer is.
They may not even want to compete. They may decide to work together.
That's true. They could pool their resources and that sort of thing. But my point is, the competition would make things like that happen, whereas with a government police agency, well, if you're a homeless man, you're probably not... If the homeless man is a victim, they're probably not going to get investigated too well. But even if somebody's going around bumping off homeless people in the free market society, you still have to run those investigations, because that's a danger to anybody. There's a serious danger there, and those companies, it's their job to protect people, so they'll do that. Number two, he says, once it's been determined who the suspect is during an investigation, how's the suspect tried for his alleged criminal activity? Is an arbitrator appointed for trials as well? If so, what happens if the suspect continues to maintain his innocence and refuses to accept any arbitrator's decision pertaining to guilty verdict and or sentencing? And this is where it gets really interesting. Because that's a very tough series of questions. In that, in a voluntary society, you can't initiate force on anybody. Obviously, the murderer is initiating force on his victims, and at that time, the victim certainly has the right to counter with an equal amount of force and kill that person if they're being threatened. But what if they get away with the murder and then after the fact say, oh, it wasn't me, when the insurance company comes and tries to bring them to arbitration?
Or what if the insurance company wants to get some evidence out of their house? I mean, I would imagine that would be very difficult.
Right. So, anyway, what could happen, and again, this is all what I'm thinking up. There's an excellent book that I recommend, The Market for Liberty, which sort of goes into this in a little bit more detail, and I owe it to myself to read it again to help internalize it better. But basically, in a free market society, it's likely we'd have some sort of a reputation rating system, sort of like how there's a credit system today, and everybody has a credit score, whether it's good or it's bad, depending on a variety of actions that they personally take.
Just about everybody has one.
And so, in a number of your transactions in throughout your daily life, whether it be getting an apartment to rent or getting a job, that sort of thing, you'd be entering into agreements with various different organizations and people. And in those agreements, there may be caveats like, well, you know, if you're wanted for murder or if you're wanted for some serious crime, we're going to insist that as our employee here at Johnny's Dish, you know, Johnny's Diner, that you actually go to arbitration so we don't look bad.
And so that their insurance company doesn't drop them.
Right. So there's going to be these sort of interlocking agreements here where if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, we're going to bring you to arbitration on murder charges, you've got an interest in going. One of the reasons you have an interest in going, especially if you're innocent, is to show to the arbitrators that you're an innocent man and that for some reason this insurance company has labeled you as a murderer and you want to clear your name. Because if you aren't innocent, then that insurance company brings you to arbitration, they're going to go to the arbitrator whether or not you show up, and they're going to present evidence to this arbitrator, and they're going to say, okay, well, here's what we've got. This guy, you know, we want him for murder. We want him coming into this arbitration. We want him to do, you know, we want him to make good on his crime as well as he possibly can, to restitute the victims as much as he possibly can, but he's not coming to trial. Anyway, here's what we have on him. And then the arbitrator might just simply say, looks pretty clear to me. He's not even here to defend himself. And so here's our verdict. This guy's guilty. So therefore, his reputation just all of a sudden just takes a major hit. All of the companies that he interacts with are essentially alerted by the arbitrator or by the insurance company or whatever agency does that sort of thing to the fact that this guy has just been he hasn't shown up for his own trial. He's been convicted of murder, and he becomes a pariah in the system, in this particular system we're talking about. Now he can't rent an apartment. He's been evicted from his apartment. He's been fired from his job. He can't go anywhere else. And there's more to this. 800-259-9231. This is just my vision. How the marketplace would actually handle this, it's hard to say. But the fact is, consumer demand would be satisfied. And people demand to not be murdered. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
I love the new sandal styles, but before I discovered Nonex Nail Gel, I was too embarrassed about my toenails to wear them.
If your nails look dark or discolored, now there's a solution besides hiding them. It's a patented nail gel called Nonex. All-natural Nonex clears out the source of the problem, the dark or yellow material that builds up under nails called keratin debris.
Nonex Nail Gel is absolutely amazing. My toenails now look clear, and I'm not embarrassed to wear sandals anymore.
Nonex Nail Gel removes yellowing keratin debris, is podiatrist recommended, and has been clinically shown to improve nail clarity. It's also money-back guaranteed. You'll find Nonex Gel, spelled N-O-N-Y-X, in the foot care section at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and independent pharmacies nationwide, or online at drugstore.com. Nonex Nail Gel, for clearer nails and feet that look great in sandals.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org. Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up what you want. Toll-free 800-259-9231. Even in these remaining moments, enough time for your call at 800-259-9231. The packet 8.net toll-free line. Ian here with you.
Dan Mark.
And you can join us online, freetalklive.com, the place to go. All the features free, but we do ask you voluntarily support the show by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is simple. If you like the show and you like the fact that we give away all the features on the website, unlike those other radio talk show hosts who want to charge you for their sites, then support us on a voluntary basis for as little as $3 a month. I mean, that's less than the price of a cup of coffee, and you're supporting the probably the only show out there with a consistent pro-liberty viewpoint. If that's valuable to you, head over to amp.freetalklive.com and learn about the program. Learn about how we're spending the money, more importantly, like on industry advertising to get more radio stations on board, internet advertising as well as other important things we need to do to promote Free Talk Live. There's a whole laundry list of things we're doing with the money there at amp.freetalklive.com, as well as a list of the 350 or so people, and plus or minus a few, some would like to remain anonymous, obviously, but as well as a list of our amplifiers, which we really appreciate, all the people who've been on board with the program, some of them as far back as from when it started, like almost 2 years ago now.
That's a lot of people sticking around.
Yeah, it's really incredible, just incredible support. And so thanks to our amplifiers, they make it happen for Free Talk Live, and you get a few perks as well. So get to all the details at amp.freetalklive.com. We're talking about a pretty important issue, and honestly, one that I'm just now beginning to really get a grasp on, really starting to understand this better than I ever have in the past, and it's thanks to a great book by the Tannehills, Morris and Linda Tannehill. It's called The Market for Liberty, and I highly recommend this book. You can purchase it through, I believe, the Mises Institute. I found out about it originally at lewrockwell.com, and they just do a tremendous job of taking a bunch of intellectual stuff, like from Rothbard and all those intellectual type writers, the academic sort of writings, which I really can't handle reading because I'm just not smart enough, you know, and it sort of boils it down to the essence. It makes it so you can really understand these concepts. They do a really great job of it, and it's a relatively short book as well, The Market for Liberty. But Marlin from Houston is asking a few questions about private law and enforcement in private law. For instance, in a murder case or some sort of criminal activity, you know, if you're being, we don't have to make it murder, we can just make it vandalism or something else like that, where if we have a free market society where there's no government anymore and somebody's doing something unlawful, someone's breaking the rules, how are they punished? How are they brought to justice if everything's done on a voluntary basis? And I pointed out that that in this theoretical society, there will be likely interlocking agreements between individuals and businesses for whom they work or interact with that will require them to go to arbitration if an arbitrator is requesting their appearance. If they're being accused of something, they, on their own, would have an incentive to go because they don't want their reputation ruined, especially if they're not, you know, if they're not guilty of the crimes they're being charged with. You'd have a reason to go to the arbitrator. And, of course, you know that in the marketplace, the arbitration would be quick. It wouldn't be months and months and months, like with maybe years, like it is with government courts. So you could actually be guaranteed a speedy trial. And you'd want to go to defend yourself, and you'd feel confident in it because you'd know that the arbitrators are reliable. Unlike government courts, which depend on the whims of individual judges, arbitrators have to be beholden to their clientele. If they're not satisfying their clients, both the accused and the accusers, as far as satisfying them with a mutually agreeable punishment, that sort of thing, with arbitrating the correct cases and not accepting frivolous cases and that sort of thing, there are a variety of different reasons why people are unsatisfied with the current system that arbitration can fix. Arbitrators will only get business based on how well satisfied their clients are. So you don't have to really be concerned about the corruption problems that we see in the courtroom today, the judicial activism problems that we see in government courtrooms today. Many of these objections can be solved by the market-based system. In addition, remember, if somebody's going to bring charges in an arbitration situation, the loser's going to have to pay.
Right, and so, you know, they're not going to just bring frivolous suits. It's unlikely that they will because, well, they're going to pay for it if they do.
Frivolous suits will be more unlikely, and especially suits that involve serious crimes. I mean, you're talking about a murder? You're talking about completely ruining somebody's reputation
right.
for life. And that's serious. So the insurance company who's going to bring the murder charges, they better have their case together. If they come to an arbitrator with a sloppy case or something like that, then the ruling's going to go against the insurance company, especially if they've got the wrong person or something terrible like that. And it's possible a mistake like that could be made, but in the marketplace, the insurance companies, unlike government, will have an incentive to double and triple check their evidence to make sure they've got the right guy. Because if they bring the wrong guy to trial in arbitration, and the guy comes and defends himself and says, hey, you know, I was here at work at this time, or whatever his defense is, and it turns out that the insurance company's got a shoddy case, that's a major ruling against the insurance company's reputation. Who wants to buy from an insurance company that's going to be bringing the wrong people up on charges? That damages their reputation. They're going to have a hard time getting and retaining clients, which means they could very well go out of business, which the government police never go out of business. They could botch up case after case, send the wrong people to prison for 20 years, 10 years at a time, and there's never any sort of punishment. If there's anything that comes out of it, then it's taxpayers that pay that person who got released from prison early. It would be a completely different system.
Right, police and DA. They aren't held responsible for mistakes that they make. And that
ruin
kind of
people's lives.
And they absolutely do. I would say that this is one of the most difficult questions that face the people that promote the free market sort of idea
sure
that there
is.
Would be no government at all. Police, it's tough stuff. But, you know, we did manage to make it in this country without police for a very, very long time. We had court systems, but we didn't have police.
Mm-hmm. But peace officers.
Yeah, well, you know, there even before that, there were, you know, some soldiers here and there, but essentially people handled it on their own. They brought people to trial and that kind of thing without police.
You mean there weren't mass murderers running around?
You know, I think Jack the Ripper might be the first mass murderer that, you know, on record.
Didn't they have police back then in Great Britain? I think they had police in Great Britain.
About that time, yeah.
Anyway, just a few more thoughts from Marlin. He says, I'm a fan of the show and a loyal listener since my girlfriend introduced me to the show about 3 months ago. I work nights, miss the live broadcasts, but I do listen to the podcast version, which leaves me little time for sleep during the week. So if you could give a brief rundown, I'd appreciate it, which we did. I like the idea of privatization of the criminal justice system and the rating reputation points eBay system. I just have a hard time grasping how all of this would be implemented. Love the show. Learn more each day I listen. From Marlin. And I understand, Marlin. I had a hard time grasping it at first. I understood, you know, when I became a libertarian back when I was 18, so almost a decade ago at this point, when I became a libertarian, I understood what I was signing. And I was signing an agreement that said I don't support the initiation of force to achieve political or social goals. I totally understood what that meant. I just didn't quite understand how it applied to every single issue. And I had to figure that out. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 9 years, is sort of learning over time, you know, how these different issues can be affected in the marketplace, how we can replace the government with market-based functions, and how it can all work. But as I pointed out, this is just, these are just ideas that we've had on the show over time, that Morris and Linda Tannehill outline in their book, The Market for Liberty. But does it mean that's how it's going to work? How will it be implemented?
It's
no.
It's definitely something that the public's going to demand. They're going to demand to be safe. They're going to be demand to not be in fear of people that are willing to do violence against them.
Right. And if you look at what the market provides for safety now, it can give you some sort of glimmer of introspection into how this might work in the future. You look at how the market provides safety services, from personal safety like guns and pepper spray and a variety of different personal safety devices, mm-hmm. to locks on front doors. There are a variety of different things, alarm systems that help keep people safe, that help keep crimes from even happening in the first place. And then there are other systems like security guards in private neighborhoods. Even neighborhood watches as well go a long way to making people safe.
They sure do.
So these are all extra governmental things that these things probably have more effect on preventing crime than any amount of governmental effort ever does in today's society. So it's likely because of the market that we're more safe today than it's more likely that it's because of the market that we're more safe than it is a couple of extra cop cars being put on the streets.
There are lots of new things in personal safety.
Right. So it's something that deserves some thought. It's something that deserves some understanding. And it's something that you really do have to put some thought into to start to be able to grasp as to just how, you know, when the market responds to consumer demand, what it will do. And that's the hard part, is predicting that. And a lot of people want that prediction to be made in advance. We could be wrong. The market could organize itself in a different fashion. But the fact is, certain things don't change, and that is that market-based organizations compete to satisfy demand. And if what people want is to be safe, then people in search of profit will provide it. How exactly it will come about, that remains to be seen. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
See you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offered both. This low mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.